John chapter 8, and we have a focus on one verse this morning. A very powerful verse. It is just filled with important information that we need to understand. Reading John chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Notice the next phrase. The one following me. That's a participle. Shows continuous, habitual lifestyle. The one following me will never, notice the double negative, will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Two things we want to study this morning for our own understanding. First of all, the proclamation of Jesus, and then the position of the believer. The proclamation of Jesus and the position of the believer. When we left off in chapter 7, the Sanhedrin had gathered together to discuss about the things of the Lord, and Nicodemus stood up in the midst of the council and says, Does our law judge a man before it hears him or knows what he's doing? So they accused him of also being a follower, and they dismissed. But then chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, which is not found in some manuscripts, therefore it's either footnoted or left out of some English translations. But it's important for us today to see that after this woman who had been caught in the very act of committing adultery and brought to Jesus in order to trap him, that verse 12 says, therefore Jesus spoke again to them. If verse 12 is actually verse 1, what happened to all the information in between? This is one of the proofs that verses 1 and through 11 belong in the text. Not only is it alluded to and brought out by various historians and church leaders in the past, we have manuscripts as old as the 3rd century that has verses 1 through 11 positioned here in the Gospel of John. Some manuscripts actually have it in Gospel of Luke, and some in other parts of the New Testament. But it's obvious that it's here, because when you take it out, the bridge between chapter 7, verse 53, and verse 8, 12, there's something missing. What do you mean, he said to them again? Said to who? Jesus is speaking. But chapter 7 ends off with the Sanhedrin talking amongst themselves. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. But like I say, there's other evidence that attests to the fact that it belongs. So in verses 1 through 11, a woman had been caught in adultery, brought to Jesus, and the religious leaders said, our law says that such women should be stoned. What do you say? Putting Jesus in a trap so that he could answer if he says, well, go by the law. You can't violate the law. Put her to death. Then they could present Jesus as not being a friend to sinners. And if he says release her, then they can say that he does not uphold the law of Moses. So either way, they were trying to trap him. But the text itself gives us some indication as to what Jesus wrote, because when he stooped down, he wrote into the ground, into the earth, after they presented this woman to him. And so, then he stands up and says, the one who is without sin amongst you, let him be the first to throw a stone upon her. And he kneels down on the ground and again writes into the ground. The context would indicate that he was writing this woman's diary, so to speak, her date book, and that even the leaders, religious leaders, had participated with this woman in committing adultery. Because, number one, how would they know where to find her when she's committing adultery? And where's the man? Because the law of Moses also required the man to be put to death. They didn't bring him. Probably one of their friends. But they knew where to find her. They knew what she was doing. And they brought her. And the Lord says, the one who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So they began to file out and away until Jesus was left alone with the woman, along with the other disciples, because she's found in the midst of the crowd. And so he says to her, is there no one to condemn you? And she says, no one, Lord. So he says, neither do I. Go and sin no longer. The conversion of this woman. But then, verse 12, actually makes reference back to this situation in verses 1 through 11, where Jesus makes this proclamation that is found all the way through the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. Jesus said to them again, I am the light of the world. That's his proclamation. The word phos for light has to do not just with illuminating, but it has to do with power. It is a word that is connected with the very life and the very nature and the very spirit of God. So when the Bible proclaims Jesus to be the light of the world, not only does he shed light on people, shine his light to illuminate, but his spirit also has power. His light has power. And it is the phrase that's used to describe the very nature and spirit of God interacting with human beings. The light. Hold your place there, please, and turn with me back to John chapter 1, just a few pages to the left. John chapter 1. We're going to study about the light. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. This one, that is the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things came into existence through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into existence which has existed or become. Notice this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the men. So his life is the light. The very life of Christ, the very presence of Christ is said to be the light of the men. And the light is shining. John, some 30-some years later, after Christ had come, is writing his gospel and using a present tense verb. Not only did the light shine when Jesus comes, but the light is still shining today in the darkness. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There came a man who had been sent from God. The name to him is John. This one came for a testimony in order that he might testify concerning the light, in order that everyone might believe through him. He was not the light, but in order that he might testify concerning the light, he was the true light, which illuminates every man coming into the world. So John wasn't the light, but he came to bear testimony to the light. This light of Jesus is the true light, and his light illuminates every person coming into the world. The Bible establishes for us that when God's Spirit testifies to a person's heart, His Spirit comes in the form of a light. Not words. A light. It is a spiritual light that the Lord actually manifests Himself by His Spirit to every person's spirit that comes into the world. So that people cannot stand before Him with an excuse. Even Paul in Romans chapter 1 says that even creation itself gives testimony to God, so that those who come before Him are without excuse just because of creation. But he says there are those who changed creation and worship the creature rather than the Creator, but they have no excuse, because creation is there for everyone to see. And it's not just a human understanding and perception of creation, but rather God's Spirit uses creation to testify to people's hearts. But He comes in the form of a light. Not words. It has nothing to do with the King James or the New American Standard or the NIV translation. It has nothing to do with Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. A person can't stand before the Lord and say, I was illiterate, couldn't read, therefore I couldn't read the Bible, therefore I didn't know. The Bible establishes that every human being that comes into the world, God's life in the form of light illuminates that person's spirit, and that person's spirit has a response, maybe even unknown to them in their mental understanding. But whether we're aware of it or not, every time we interact with God's Spirit or we're confronted by God's Spirit, our spirit has a reaction. It's beside what we think. Our mind can adopt a philosophy to match our spirit's response and try to justify it. But in reality, everybody responds to the light. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Everybody knows the verse. For God so loved the world. The word so means in this way. God loved the world in this way. So that He gave His only begotten or only unique Son. In order that everyone who is believing, notice the present participle, in order that everyone who is believing into Him, showing the action of the belief, should not perish but might have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world in order that He might judge the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. The one believing, present participle, the one believing into Him is not judged, but the one not believing has been judged already. Perfect tense. In other words, a person stands condemned, not because they have rejected Christ, but because they have never believed in Him. As an evangelist, I used to travel, because I used to love to give those fire and brimstone messages. I love to present those, what hell would be like, one of my favorite subjects, only to scare it out of people and hopefully help them see what is coming. But I would always present the fact that if you reject this gospel message, you will go to hell. That in and of itself is an incorrect statement. According to the Bible, a person is on their way to hell already because they have not believed. So the entire gospel message changes. It's like watching a river flow by and you know that the falls are at the end and the rapids come by and and you try to reach out to give a person a hand to deliver them from out of certain destruction because they're on their way already. That's the gospel message. Take the life preserver. Hold on. We'll pull you out. But there are those who say, no, I don't want it. And they continue on into death. So the one who is not believing has been judged already because he has not believed. Perfect tense. He stands in a condition of having not believed. Into the name of the only unique Son of God. And this is the judgment. That the light has come. Perfect tense. It has come already and it's here now. Based on that coming. The light has come into the world and the men, the people, loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone who is practicing corruption is hating the light and does not come to the light in order that his works might be exposed. It's the elenko as the word for conviction. It's a judicial term. People won't come to the light because they don't want conviction. They don't want the light to shine. But the one who is practicing the truth is coming to the light in order that his works might become manifest that they are being worked in God. The judgment is the light. We saw from John 1 that John established that God's life as the light illuminates every person coming into the world. Now, every person establishes a position to the light based on their response to the light. Again, notice no words. It doesn't involve words. It involves a spiritual force, the very life of God Himself, in all of His energy, acts as a spiritual light to interact with other people's spirits. And a person's heart or spirit either doesn't want to be around the light because the light brings conviction, or they're drawn to the light because they want to know if the work, the life that's being lived is in the Lord or it's not. Talking with somebody this week, professed to be a Christian, who said they don't come to church because they're avoiding conviction. I said, well, that's a good reason, because that's what happens. That's what we're there for. But then I said, you know, that's a gift from God to be convicted. Because if we get convicted, then our heart's not right in that area. And God wants to change us and transform us. But if we stay away from the light, it shows our position. Jesus makes the proclamation that He is the light of the world. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Even if you get nothing out of this message this morning, you'll know where the books of the Bible are. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, on account of this, having this ministry, according as we received mercy, we do not faint. But we have refuted the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, neither diluting the word of God, but manifesting the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of every man before God. But if also our gospel has been hidden, perfect tense, it has been hidden among those who are being destroyed, in whom the God of this age blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so that the manifestation or illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ could not shine upon them. That's the word algazo. Those of you from Monday night, remember that Jesus Christ is the algazomai, the outbeam of the very nature of God. So the God of this age hinders those who are being destroyed from having the illumination of the gospel of Christ being beamed out to them. Christ being the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as slaves on account of Christ Jesus. Because God is the one who has said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who shined in our hearts with the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person or the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says, the same God in creation in Genesis chapter 1 that said, "Let there be light." I'm using English here because in the Hebrew, the heor, it literally says, God says, "Be light." He didn't say, "Let there be." "Be light." And there was light. That's how he commanded. There wasn't any formula. He said, "Light exist," and it existed. It came into being. Paul says the same thing happens spiritually when we're saved. Is that God shines in our hearts. He illuminates our hearts with the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His glory. But he says those who are being destroyed, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of these people so that the illuminating beam of God's life and light should not shine upon them. In order for a person to be saved, they need to be illuminated by the Spirit of God, by His light. And as every person comes into the world and they are exposed to the light of the life of God, their spirit has a response. They either want to go back into the shadows because the light exposes the darkness, or their spirit is drawn to the Lord because they want to be in the light and they want that part of their life exposed as to what is not of the Lord so it can be changed and transformed. So who everybody is depends on the relationship to the light. Let's go back to John chapter 8, where we started from. The proclamation of Jesus is that He has said to them again, "I am the light of the world." What does that have to do with verses 1 through 11? His light shined on the hearts, bringing conviction to these religious leaders who were setting Jesus up, trying to entrap Him with this woman caught in adultery. Not only did His light shine on her heart, but His light shined on their hearts, and they, in their response, they filed away. They left. So not only did Jesus proclaim, "I am the light of the world," I want you to notice the position of the believer in verse 12. The one following me. Present participle. The one who is continuously following me. as a lifestyle will never, double negative, will never walk in the darkness. Never. But will have the light of life. What a statement to make. It is impossible for someone who is born of the Spirit of God to walk in darkness. The one following Christ will never walk in the darkness. It's impossible. The reason being is because I have the Spirit of the very life of God living in me. So therefore, His life has energy, life to it. And His life is like a light. Therefore, and the question comes up, can a Christian walk in darkness? It's impossible. This statement right here says it's impossible. But believers think that the light is like something outside of them, like a street light. And so sometimes a Christian can go back in the bushes and be in the dark and be doing evil things. But the truth of what God's Word says is that the light lives inside of us. So no matter where we go, we're always in the light. Always. We are never walking in darkness. So wherever I walk, I am always in God's light. I might not be in physical light, but I'm always in spiritual light. Now let's finish up with 1 John chapter 1. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. The same writer as the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 5. 1 John 1:5, and this is the message which we have heard from Him and we proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Not one part dark is what the Greek says. If we should say, notice the hypothetical, aeon with the subjunctive, if we should say that we have fellowship with Him and we should be walking in the darkness, we are lying and we are not doing the truth. This is why John is considered to be a polemic writer, controversial writer. You don't invite this guy to come to your church. He's not interested in people feeling comfortable. In fact, all through this letter, he's bringing out the fact that Christians, or people who profess to be Christians, have a way of confessing one thing, all the right things that belong to a Christian, but walking in a completely different way. Living a life that's completely different than what they say. So he's one to come out and say, the message is that God is light. And if you're professing to having fellowship with Him, yet you're walking in the darkness, how can a Christian walk in the darkness? They can't. He says, then you're lying and you're not doing the truth. But if we should, walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us, John's including himself, from all sin. So when we fellowship together and our focus is on the Lord, and especially His Word, we are actually exposing ourselves to the life and the light of God. And He, through His Word, brings conviction. Just His presence brings conviction. And it is through the hearing of the Word that we are cleansed. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 15 that you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. So just His Word, He cleanses us. John goes on to say, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So being exposed to God's Word brings us to confession. And through confession, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. But you see, God is light. It is impossible for a true born-again believer to walk in darkness. It's impossible. Because everywhere we go, we carry God's Spirit along with us. And it is impossible not to be convicted of our sin by God's Spirit. Now we're going to come across some other heavy pieces of Scripture in John 8. I'm warning you ahead of time so that you might want to make plans to do something else when we take them on Sunday. But the Lord says that you are my disciples if you continue in my word. Ah. There are those who profess to be Christians but don't want to be in the word. Okay, John, what do you got to say about those? Well, he presents the fact that Jesus said, you're not my disciple. The only way that I could stay in the word of God, because it brings conviction, it brings change, it brings transformation. I'm full on under all the wattage of God's Spirit when I'm in the Word, interacting with the Spirit of God. It's a very uncomfortable place to be. Something I'm not interested in exposing myself to in the natural, but it's God's Spirit. Again, it's the characteristic of God's Spirit to lead God's people to the light. But again, I'm positioning myself. Every human being is positioning themselves. God puts His light, His life, right in the middle of humanity. And every person is either drawn to the light or they're running away from the light. Or they're in the shadows. They got one foot inside the light and the other foot in the darkness. Every person is positioning themselves in relationship to the Spirit of God. That is illuminating everyone's spirit. Fact. When the person stands before God with the excuse, I never heard the gospel, God will say, there was a time when my spirit illuminated your spirit with the consciousness that there is a God. What did you do? Yeah, I didn't hear that voice. It wasn't a voice. It's not a voice. It's an energy force that illuminates. And the substance and quality of that energy force is the very nature and the very character and the very person of God Himself, who alone is holy. So you can imagine if a Holy Spirit of a holy God comes in contact with my spirit, what's the reaction going to be? I'm a sinner. And as a sinner, as affected by sin, I need to be changed, I need to be transformed. So God's Spirit draws us to His Word because it is through God's Word that God brings the changes. Paul said in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's God's chosen way that He communicate and change and minister to His people. So if a person says, I'm a Christian, but I'm not drawn to the Word of God at all, well, we'll hear what Jesus has to say about that. You see, we confess many things and we profess many things, but it's all we are according to our relationship with the light. We either come to the light or we try to stay away. But whatever our profession is, if it doesn't match our response to the light, if we say that we believe but we're not drawn to the light, John says we're liars. It's not the truth. You're deceiving yourself. Never born of the Spirit of God. You might have followed some formula to believe. But the question is, were you born of the Spirit of God? And if His Spirit is living in you, try to stay away from the Word. Can't. His Spirit draws us. So the proclamation of Jesus is that He Himself is the light of the world. The position of the believer is that the believer will never walk in the darkness, but will have with them at all times the light of life. Everything is in response to the Spirit of God, not an argument over translations and languages. And let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, You definitely are the light of the world in the person of Jesus Christ. As we gain understanding, we understand that we're having interaction with energy forces, spiritual energy forces, either of Satan, that we saw in the first hour, can transform himself into an angel of light. It can appear to be light in the right direction, but he's impersonating the Lord Himself, who is the true light that's illuminating every human being coming into the world. Help us to understand our position, that as we, in our lifestyle, we continue to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are walking in the light. Teach us to respond to Your light, not to run from it, not to try to put it under a basket or bushel, but allow Your light to shine, to bring that conviction that is necessary, that we might come to You and confess our sins, because You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is Your desire that our sins be forgiven and cleansed, to keep our relationship with You healthy and intact. We pray by Your Spirit through these scriptures today, You'd give us more of an understanding that a person's relationship with You is spiritual, not physical or human. It's not religious. It has to do with the light of the life of Christ. We pray that You teach us these things and help us to understand these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.